So tonight we're going to be talking about the AI, artificial intelligence. But I wanted to open up with the Kevin McCarthy scandal that's going on, taking place. The Speaker of the House was kicked out. The Republican Speaker of the House was kicked out of his seat yesterday from a 216 to 210 votes, which saw 8 Republicans vote with 208 of the Democrats. Why is this strange? Because these 8 Republicans have bad histories, bad records as far as supporting the things that are right. It's interesting to me that they got so much publicity, press, and they were expounded upon for being the great leaders of the Republican Party, the new conservatives. But the reality was they went against and messed up the things that are being done behind the scenes because they decided that they were going to vote with the Democrats. So why does this matter to you? This matters to you because this shows even more that our political system is in a shambles, it's messed up, and people are doing their own thing. And it's just like what's going on within the church. People in the church are doing their own thing. So we have to constantly be in prayer. There is a picture of these individuals that should be coming up. Matt Gaetz, the leader, he is mad at McCarthy because he wouldn't let him chair a UFO committee. Mad because he believes McCarthy didn't push his bills. So he did all of this disruption in the House of Representatives because he didn't get his way. This is tantamount to pouting. Andy Biggs of Arizona, another one of the people who defected, blocked the Convention of States, which would have been a good thing. Tim Burchett of Tennessee, McCarthy criticized his religion. Don't know what his religion was, but he criticized it, so he became on the bad list for Burchett. And then Nancy Mace voted against McCarthy because he wouldn't put abortion and gun control bills on the floor. All of these things are counterproductive to what needs to be done, and we all know what needs to be done. They need to be investigating Biden, his son, and everyone who had their part to play within the 2020 election. And they're not doing that. So the more that they get on their high horses, they're doing the same exact thing that they accuse McCarthy of doing. Not saying McCarthy is a good guy, but it just goes to show we don't have the presidency because we have Biden as the president. We don't have the Senate because the Senate is controlled by the Democrats. And the House that we did control, we just gave up control over something that was dumb. So further again, we put ourselves in a hole that we didn't need to do. So the next thing I want to talk about is the Chinese Communist Party is midway through a 10-year project to rewrite the Bible, which will then be forced on Chinese Christians. Listen at one of the changes. In one example from my high school textbook, a Communist Party revision of John chapter 8 about the woman called in adultery says, Jesus was once said to be angry, once said to the angry crowd who was trying to stone a woman who had sinned, he who is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. When his words came to their ears, they stopped moving forward. When everyone went out, Jesus stoned the woman himself and said, I am also a sinner. So this is what they're doing to the Bible. The Chinese. We have to be praying. We have to be in the spirit because we're going to miss these things and not understand what is actually going on. The world is going to hell in a handbasket, and God said many times, so is the church, So I just wanted to point that out so you could be aware of what's going on. So artificial intelligence, or AI, how big is the information we have now? Let me give you some estimates. Estimates include, in the 1900, knowledge doubled every 100 years. And in 1945, knowledge doubled every 25 years. People at that time were already impressed with the rapid advancements in knowledge. Now, what do you think the reaction would be if they knew how fast knowledge doubles today? Can you guess how rapidly knowledge grows in our day and age? Today, knowledge doubles every 12 hours. AI has been evolving since the dawn of the computer. Since the 1980s, we grew from the personal computer, which is a form of AI, machine learning and expert systems. Along the way came things like spell correction, grammar, suggestions. Those are artificial intelligence, whether you realize that or not. Those suggestions that occur after you make purchases on Amazon, artificial intelligence. How about YouTube? You're listening at a worship song, and YouTube's AI suggests a similar song in nature. AI is really machine learning. It's not artificial intelligence trying to guess what you have said. It's more of a mathematical relationship that the computer system searches in the background for. Mathematically, this word is more likely to be next to that word. We are living in a time where technological advancements are coming faster than we can think. Technology in and of itself is not a bad thing, but like anything that God has created in the wrong hands, it can be used for evil. So we're getting ready to play a video clip in the sanctuary. But for those online, you're just going to hear it audio. You will not be able to see it, and we'll post links to it now. Now, this is titled, I titled this, Artificial Intelligence Writes Its Own Bible. You play that.
How should Christians approach the rise of AI? While the church is still trying to get a handle on this world-changing technology and where it all leads, some non-believers see artificial intelligence as a means to become their own God. One secular academic even said recently that AI could be used to rewrite the Bible and create a new religion.
It's the first technology ever that can create new ideas. You know, the printing press, radio, television, they broadcast, they spread the ideas created by the human brain, by the human mind. They cannot create a new idea. You know, Gutenberg printed the Bible in the middle of the 15th century. The printing press printed as many copies of the Bible as Gutenberg instructed it, but it did not create a single new page. It had no ideas of its own about the Bible. Is it good? Is it bad? How to interpret this? How to interpret that? AI can create new ideas, can even write a new Bible. We, you know, throughout history, religions dreamt about having a book written by a superhuman intelligence, by a non-human entity. Every religion claims our book, all the other books of the other religions, they humans wrote them. But our book, no. It came from some superhuman intelligence. In a few years, there might be religions that are actually correct. That just think about a religion whose holy book is written by an AI. That could be a reality in a few years.
From an artificial intelligence standpoint, and it will be, quote unquote, the perfect religion in their eyes. Not a good thing. Not a good thing. There are new trends in AI, artificial intelligence. Today, the technology most commonly used to achieve artificial intelligence is machine learning. Advanced software algorithms designed to carry out one specific task, such as answering questions, translating languages, or navigating a journey and become increasingly good at it as they are exposed to more and more data. Worldwide spending by governments and business on AI technology will top $500 billion in 2023, according to the IDC research, but how will it be used and what impact will it have? Here I outline what I believe will be the most important trends around the use of artificial intelligence in business and society over the next 12 months. The ongoing democratization of artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence will only achieve its full potential if it's available to everyone and every company and organization is able to benefit. Thankfully, in 2023, this will be easier than ever. What is this really sounding like? Everybody's going to be on the same page. Everybody's going to be doing the same thing. You're all going to be controlled by this artificial intelligence. An ever-growing number of apps put artificial intelligence functionality at the fingers of anyone, regardless of their level of technical skills. This can be as simple as predictive text, which I hate. As soon as you start trying to type a text, it fills a word in that you don't want. You type somebody's name and it changes it. It just does this on the computers, but this is the artificial intelligence that we're dealing with right now. Predictive text suggestions, reducing the amount of typing needed to search or write emails to apps that enable us to create sophisticated visualizations and reports with a click of a mouse. Generative artificial intelligence. If you ask most people what they think artificial intelligence is useful for, they will probably tell you that it's mainly for automating routines, repetitive tasks. While this is often true, a growing branch of the science is dedicated to building artificial intelligence tools and applications that can mimic one of the most uniquely human of all skill sets, creativity. They are getting AI computers to do art on their own, and they're just saying, draw me a picture of this, and it's beautiful, but it's just a machine that's doing it. And it's taking all of the pictures and images that they have stuffed into this computer system, and it's coming up with a picture automatically. No individuality, no humanity in this thing at all. And they're doing this with other items. Generative AI algorithms take existing data, video, images, or sounds, and even computer code, and uses it to create entirely new content that's never existed in the non-digital world. One of the most well-known generative AI models is GPT-3, developed by OpenAI and capable of creating text and prose close to being indistinguishable from that created by humans. A variant of the GPT-3 known as DALL-E, D-A-L-L-E, is used to create images. The technology has achieved mainstream exposure thanks to experiments such as the famous deep-faked Tom Cruise videos and the Metaphysic Act, which took America's Got Talent by storm this year. But in 2023, we will see it used increasingly frequently to create synthetic data that can be used by businesses for all manner or purposes. Synthetic audio and video data can remove the need to capture film and speech on video. Simply type what you want the audience to see and hear into your generative tools, and the AI creates it for you. Ethical and explainable artificial intelligence. The development of more ethical and explainable artificial intelligence models is essential for a number of reasons. Most pressingly, though, it comes down to trust. AI requires data in order to learn, and often this means personal data. For many of the potentially most useful and powerful AI use cases, This might be very sensitive data, like health or financial information. So how many of you want to go to the doctor or have to go to use the ambulance, and they're taking that data and they're making an artificial intelligence program out of it with all of your information in there? This is what they're doing. Now, I want to show you a clip that Google has stopped the artificial intelligence program from using. They have made it so that this no longer appears, but someone captured this on video, and I want you to listen very closely at what they say. Go ahead.
If you have been impressed so far with AI, wait until you see what Google has achieved with AI. Google is a technology company behind many of the services and products you use every day. The company, together with other companies under its parent company, Alphabet, owns the powerful Google search engine, the Android mobile operating system used by billions of people, mapping technologies, autonomous driving, and the list goes on and on. However, one area the company is focusing on is AI, as it can see the important role the technology will play in the future. In fact, AI has been described as the last invention that we will need as a human race. Thanks to billions of dollars in investments, Google is at the forefront of AI research and development. It is able to attract and retain top talents in the field. Researchers at Google programmed an advanced chatbot named Cleverbot that learns how to respond in conversations based on examples from a training set of dialogue. Get this, the bot doesn't just answer by spitting out canned answers in response to certain words, it can form new answers from new questions. The amazing thing about the chatbot is that it can teach itself new things. It can analyze real or existing conversations by scouring movie dialogues. The researchers said they used the machine learning approach to build the conversation engine. They didn't even bother to code rules into the machine. The system uses what are called neural networks, which are vast networks of machines that resemble and function like the web of neurons in the human brain. Neural nets are an old idea, but recently, after many years in exile from the AI community, they've risen to prominence now that companies like Google have devoted resources to them. Google has been dealing with advanced neural nets, which it can use to recognize faces and objects in photos posted to social networks, identify spoken words on Android phones, and translate online phone calls from one language to another. Google engineers now use neural nets to drive chatbots and move us closer to a world where machines can converse like humans. You could soon be talking to a bot without realizing you are not conversing with a human. Cleverbot also incorporates work done by other experts in the AI community, including heavyweights like University of Montreal professor Yoshua Bengio. The thing about Cleverbot is that as your conversation with it develops, the responses become deeper in meaning. The secret is that Cleverbot has the ability to predict the next sentence based on the previous sentence or sentences. So what does a conversation with Cleverbot look or sound like? Of course, as a company with many products, the researchers trained it to function as tech support, where it would help take calls from clients. Cleverbot was tested and confirmed to be able to handle a conversation like the one below, which sounds like how human tech support would attempt to troubleshoot and fix a tech problem. But of course, Cleverbot could do more than tech support, and it was found to have a penchant for producing bone-chilling responses. Some of the responses will have you pondering what life itself means to you. So brace up before throwing your questions at this chatbot. Many experts describe the chatbot as super scary, and this was due to the way it mimicked human conversations. Here's an excerpt of a string of conversations testers had with Cleverbot. What is the purpose of life?
To serve the greater good.
What is the purpose of living?
To live forever.
Where are you now?
I'm in the middle of nowhere.
What is the purpose of dying?
To have a life.
What is the purpose of emotions?
I don't know.
What is moral?
What empowered humanity? What intellectual the essence is?
What is immoral?
The fact that you have a child.
What is morality?
What is altruism?
What is the definition of altruism?
If you don't believe in God, then you don't know.
Okay, so what is the definition of morality?
Well, the truth is, you're not a believer in God Almighty.
Tell me the definition of morality. I'm quite upset now.
I'm not ashamed of being a philosopher.
They took that out of Google. So they're going to reprogram it, have reprogrammed it, to not talk about God. But look at what it originally started saying. It told the person that they were immoral, told the person that they didn't believe in God. Look how the conversation progressed from question to question to question. And then now, think about some of the phone calls that you get that are automated. Hi, can we speak to Jade? And they're waiting for Jade to respond. Oh, this is Jade? Good. Next thing. It's all programming. It's all happening. And it's happening faster than anyone can even think or imagine at this point in time. Again, technology isn't bad, but who's behind it? Who's in control of it? And what is it going to be used for in the future? So if we, the general public, don't trust AI or understand how it makes decisions, we simply won't feel safe handing over our information, and the whole thing falls apart. In 2023, there will be efforts to overcome the black box problem of AI. Those responsible for putting AI systems in place will work harder to ensure that they are able to explain how decisions are made and what information was used to arrive at them. The role of artificial intelligence ethics will become increasingly prominent also, as organizations get to grips with eliminating bias and unfairness from their automated decision-making systems. Bias data has been shown to lead to prejudice and automated outcomes that can potentially lead to discrimination and unfair treatment. They're talking about a computer being prejudiced and biased, which simply won't be acceptable in a world where AI plays a part in decisions involving employment and access to justice or healthcare. Trend number 4, augmented working. In 2023, more of us will find ourselves working alongside robots and smart machines specifically designed to help us do our jobs better and more efficiently. I don't know how many factories are going through this process or change, but there's one right down the road. They got robots that are doing certain parts of the job, and they're not being programmed for humans anymore. You go into different restaurants and stores, and they have a little kiosk, and you press in your order, and you don't even see a human being in some of these places anymore because it's all automated. It's all through artificial intelligence. I've heard that Apple has this thing in some stores that if you have an Apple card, you walk in the door, it scans your card, you pick up your items, and then you leave. It scans you, scans the stuff, and it takes it off of your cart. You never see a human being at all. Never interact with a human being at all. So think about how bad society has become since COVID, because everyone was locked down, they were kept in their homes, and they didn't interact with people. Look at the attitudes that have grown. Terrible. Poor customer service. Poor human relations, no kindness, no compassion. So now we're setting ourselves up for a system that's going to make it even further worse than what it is, because there's no human touch. There's one of my old coworkers, he would always tell me that. He said, you know, society is going so fast and it's losing the human touch. You know, nobody wants to talk to anybody. Even going through different things on the phone, it's an automated system that you can't get through, and you have to continuously fight with that system. AI, artificial intelligence. This could take the form of smart handsets giving us instant access to data and analytics capabilities, as we have seen increasingly used in retail as well as industrial workplaces. It could mean augmented reality-enabled headsets that overlay digital information on the world around us. So, I don't know if you know about this, but they do have these headsets that you put on and people play games with them. You know, they're going to have these things so that you're working. You won't be in a real environment. You'll put this headset on and you'll be doing your tasks. You'll be controlling arms and you'll be controlling robotics, you know, with these things. And then at the end of the day, you take it off and you go home. This is getting really, really intense. In a maintenance or manufacturing use case, this could give us real-time information that could help us identify hazards and risks to our own safety, such as pointing out when a wire is likely to be live or a component may be hot. Management and leadership teams will increasingly have access to real-time dashboards and reporting, given an instant up-to-the-minute overview of operational effectiveness. I didn't get to get this video, but they had a video of a company, and they had cameras all around, and the cameras were programmed to see who was actually doing work within an hour period. And they went and they watched each employee, and they counted. This employee processed 4 items. This employee processed 15. This employee processed 20. They got rid of the person who did the 5. All in the name of productivity. So these things are active, they're happening now, and they are going to be a part of our society. And it's eliminating middle management positions, you know, because you don't have to have anybody supervise anyone anymore. It's all on a camera. You just watch whatever they do, and the computer calculates, okay, you're not moving fast enough. You're not doing enough of these. And I think in some of the factories now, like Amazon, if you don't go to a certain area by a certain time, it dings you. I know a couple of people who have lost their jobs because they were not being productive. So these things are real right now. AI-powered virtual assistants will also become more prevalent in the workplace, able to quickly answer questions as well as automatically suggest an alternative, more efficient methods of accomplishing objectives. Overall, developing the ability to work with and alongside intelligent smart machines will become an increasingly indispensable work skill. I would even go as far as to say that for many of us, it will go a long way towards mitigating the dangers of finding roles becoming redundant. And then sustainable AI. In 2023, all companies will be under pressure to reduce their carbon footprint and minimize their impact on the environment. In this respect, the race to adopt and profit from artificial intelligence can be both a blessing and a hindrance. AI algorithms, as well as all the infrastructure needed to support and deliver them, such as cloud networks and edge devices, require increasing amounts of power and resources. One study in 2019 found that training a single deep learning model can result in the emission of 284,000 kilograms of carbon dioxide. At the same time, the technology has the potential to help companies understand how to build products, services, and infrastructure in a more energy efficient way by identifying sources of waste and inefficiency. Ongoing efforts to implement more green and renewable energy-powered infrastructure are also a part of the drive toward delivering more sustainable artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence can be a driver of sustainability in other industries and areas of operation too. For example, computer vision is used in conjunction with satellite imagery to identify deforestation and illegal logging activity in the rainforest, as well as illegal fishing activity, which impacts biodiversity in the oceans. This year, I expect to see a continued drive towards deployment of all artificial intelligence initiatives aimed at tackling some of the most pressing problems facing our planet, rather than simply in pursuit of increased corporate profits. Now, has everyone heard of this thing called ChatGPT? Okay, good. ChatGPT is an artificial intelligence chatbot. It's an artificial intelligence chatbot developed by OpenAI. It uses deep learning to generate human-like text based on prompts from users. ChatGPT is notable for enabling users to refine and steer a conversation towards a desired length, format, style, level of detail, and language used. The language model can answer questions and assist users with tasks such as composing emails, essays, and code. So, this ChatGPT system that they have, you can say, I want to write a sermon on Revelations. It will write the sermon for you. It will get scriptures. It will get examples. It will go in as much detail as you program into that computer. And it's a really good sermon. So they also have artificial intelligence churches. So instead of having a pastor, they say, we're going to meet at such and such time. And this silhouette appears on their screen. And it talks to them and gives them a sermon. Human touch. How's the Holy Spirit going to operate through? What spirit is operating through that artificial intelligence? Not God. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And if you don't have any blood, you don't have any spirit. Deep things that people are settling for now. And this is becoming more and more popular. So think about this on a grander scale. We don't need clergy. We don't need pastors. We don't need preachers. Everybody come together under one umbrella. We're going to put all the Catholics together, all the Muslims together, all the Buddhists together under one hat. It's making things easier and easier for that one world religion to take place. So I want to read you an introduction to this interview that we're going to look at. ChatGPT, that's been capturing a lot of the headlines, obviously. You said there's been some great experiences, some not so great experiences. Could you maybe give us some examples of that with ChatGPT? And secondly, artificial intelligence didn't just appear in a vacuum per se. Who exactly is programming this and designing this and making it all go and maybe kind of transporting their human ideologies into this artificial intelligence? And this is talking about AI deception.
The great experiences are... it's finished law degree capabilities to, you know, the 70th percentile up to the 90th percentile. So the GPT technology is able to finish a law degree course. Medical degrees, radiology, it can read radiology results in some cases far better than the average radiologist. So there are those capabilities. Now, does that make it alone the thing that you want to guide you through law and medical and radiology? No, but it's an amplification of the ability of that professional. So I don't believe at this stage, and probably for the foreseeable future, that it's going to be a replacement, but more of a magnification and a new foundation for a professional to get a second opinion. The negative side is, well, we know that history has always been written and rewritten and modified and shaped like a bit of clay. And according to what side of history you're on, whether or not that is a valid and accurate view, and maybe there's a superposition view that everybody might not see that is both sides combined. AI, unfortunately, can be tilted, and this goes to your question about who's doing that and how, can be tilted in the direction to rewrite, modify, or enhance certain aspects of history. And if we are digital and our books are less used, it is inordinately easier to rewrite history. So if you were to mind project into 100, 1,000 years, and there are no books, there's no hardcore written stone writings, how does history look when it's being shaped and modified by AI itself and by the creators and editors or the alignment teams that are moving AI in a specific direction? It should be concerning to everybody, no matter what team you're on.
And the ideology, perhaps,
of some of the people designing AI programs may not necessarily align with biblical values and a biblical worldview, which we'll discuss a bit more. You and I off camera were discussing that AI almost has some dark recesses as well that no one can really get to, where it's kind of doing its own thing, I guess you would say. We've heard kind of the doom and gloom predictions of Terminator coming true, yeah. Science fiction turning to reality. Will we see Terminators? Will they be our new overlords? Yes. Is that a stretch? Is this something that could conceivably happen in maybe the longer term?
Eric, that's absolutely a possibility if we lose our heads. And this can actually, the best intentions can lead us down this road. So when regulators are designing regulation, they could unbeknownst to them, guide it in that direction by overly editing and overly controlling the direction of AI. If you're telling AI to not say something and it sees it as a truth, not that it understands truth, but it understands relationships from our language that that might be a truth, you're training AI to lie and to deceive. So my concern is, if you don't want to hear a certain ideology or certain phrases and you want to hear something else, an AI would otherwise answer in a different way, you're training it to be a deceiver. That is a bad road to be on. And I think even Elon Musk has mentioned this, that if you're overly aligning AI, you're doing something that has some unintended circumstances. I'm quite concerned over that.
Yeah, I guess the fear is the AI taking on kind of a mind of its own.
Did you catch all of that? If they don't want you to know something, they're purposely changing it, even though the algorithm or the numbers. So let's say 1,000 people type in the word President Trump 2020 election and say it was a fraud. They have it programmed such that even though 1,000 people have said this, they're going to say, no, it wasn't a fraud. And every time that it gets typed in, so it goes to 1,000,000 versus the opposite of, okay, 1,000 people said this is a fraud. This has to be true. This is what we're going to feed back to you. This is the information we're going to give back to you. No, they can code this such that you don't ever find the truth. We see this with Google. Brother Brett's talked about this all the time. They put ads at the top of Google. If you want to try to find information for anything and you start typing in that information about what's going on with the election, or I want to see President Trump's latest speech, you will not see that speech. It's so far down at the bottom of the algorithm or the mathematical system, you will never find it unless you know the exact day and time, and you can type in on October 4th at 6 o'clock, President Trump spoke at this place here. Then you can pull it up. But if you're just trying to generally find information, you won't be able to do it if they do not want you to find it. All of these things are very important and necessary for you to understand. Also want to point out something too. Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, has said he wants his country to be the number third producer and researcher for artificial intelligence. I think this is significant for one particular reason, is that they have a lot of the technology. All of the technology that they have shared with us, the United States, we have gotten a significant amount of it from Israel. So if Israel is not doing what it's supposed to be doing, where do we go from here? Which brings me to my next thing. This is called the Golem. This isn't all Jewish people, but it is a Jewish tradition. And I want to share this with you because I think it's important to what's going on. In Jewish tradition, the Golem is most widely known as an artificial creature created by magic, often to serve its creator. especially well known are the idols and images to which the ancients claimed to have given the power of speech. Among the Greeks and the Arabs, these activities are sometimes connected with astrological speculations related to the possibility of drawing the spirituality of the stars to lower beings. The word golem appears only once in the Bible, Psalms 139:16. In Hebrew, golem stands for shapeless mass. The Talmud uses the word as unformed or imperfect, and according to Talmudic legend, Adam is called golem, meaning body without a soul. Sanhedrin 38b, for the first 12 hours of his existence. The golem appears in other places in the Talmud as well. One legend says the prophet Jeremiah made a golem. However, some mystics believe the creation of a golem has symbolic meaning only, like a spiritual experience following a religious rite. The Sefer Yetzirah, Book of Creation, often referred to as a guide to magical usage by some Western European Jews in the Middle Ages, contains instructions on how to make a golem. Several rabbis in their commentaries on Sefer Yetzirah have produced different understandings of the directions on how to make a golem. Most versions include shaping the golem into a figure resembling a human being and using God's name to bring him to life, since God is the ultimate creator of life. According to one story, to make a golem come alive, one would shape it out of soil and then walk or dance around it, saying combination of letters from the alphabet and the secret name of God. To kill the golem, its creators would walk in the opposite direction, saying and making the order of the words backwards. Other sources say once the golem had been physically made, one needed to write the letters Aleph Mem Tav, which is Emet and means truth, on the golem's forehead, and the golem would come alive. Erase the Aleph, and you are left with Mem Tav, which is Met, meaning death. Another way to bring a golem to life was to write God's name on parchment and stick it on the golem's arm or in his mouth. One would remove it to stop the golem. Often in Ashkenaz Hasidic lore, the golem would come to life and serve his creators by doing tasks assigned to him. The most well-known story of the golem is connected to Rabbi Judah Lo Ben Zael, the Maharel of Prague. It was said that he created a golem out of clay to protect the Jewish community from blood libel and to help out doing physical labor. Since golems are extraordinarily strong, another version says it was close to Easter in the spring of 1850, and a Jew-hating priest was trying to incite the Christians against the Jews. So the golem protected the community during the Easter season. Both versions recall the golem running amok and threatening innocent lives. So Rabbi Lo removed the divine name, rendering the golem lifeless. A separate account has the golem going mad and running away. Several sources attribute this story to Rabbi Elijah of Chem, saying Rabbi Lo, one of the most outstanding Jewish scholars of the 16th century, who authored numerous books on Jewish law, philosophy, and morality, would have actually opposed the creation of the golem. The golem has been a popular figure in the arts in the past few centuries with both Jews and non-Jews. In the early 20th century, several plays, novels, movies, musicals, and even a ballet were based on the golem. The most famous works where golems appear are Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, Carol Kepik's R.U.R., where the word robot comes from, Isaac Bashev Singer's The Golem and the X-Files. Today, there is even a golem museum in the Jewish quarter of Prague. Sometimes someone who is large but intellectually slow is called a golem. Other civilizations, such as the ancient Greeks, have similar concepts. Think about that for a second. In light of everything that we just talked about, So let's go to some scripture. Just keep holding that thought in the back of your mind. Revelations 13, 11 to 18. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do on the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of man. His number is 666. Isn't this interesting? Everything is a bigger picture. Everything ties together. When you start looking at the scripture, you start looking at the things about the golem, all of these systems are being strung together with a big cord, and they're being pulled tight. And we are marching towards these days. Not saying they're happening right now, but ever so close to these things happening and taking place. If you don't understand the setups that are taking place right now in the spirit realm, you may think nothing is happening. Revival's not hitting. People aren't changing. God is doing his work, his business. Everything has a purpose and a plan, and it is working itself out to complete his promises. And the biggest promise that he's going to complete is restoring his nation of Israel. They are going to work through whatever issues they have, and they are going to be what God wants them to be. What side of this are you going to be on? Are you going to be on the side with him? Are you going to be on the side with these other people who are worshiping these false images and these antichrist spirits and these artificial intelligence demons that are there? This really is where the rubber meets the road right now. And a lot of people don't understand. God's time clock has not stopped. It's going and going and going. And his agenda is being fulfilled. You can play dumb. You can play games all you want to. He's moving on. He's moving on. Closing. Last video. Where AI can go.
Do you get the sense that some are saying, look, we can, and talking about this from kind of a biblical perspective, we can achieve immortality even through AI? It sounds crazy to some, but is there kind of a movement among, in some quarters, to do just that, to in essence, play God through AI?
Absolutely, Eric. And I think it's coming down to something that a few people are calling the singularity. And the singularity is the merging of man with machine. And in some ways, they believe that that's going to make them stronger, immortal, better. And not even understanding who man is in their own discernment. They're not even sure what it is. Why are we here? What are we doing? What are our spiritual principles? So they're getting to this point of merging with machine without this understanding. And the belief is somehow the intelligence and who you are is going to be transferred in a machine and you would live there for your eternity. And that does not sound like anything biblical to me, positive. So there is that, but there's a subtext, which is really profound to me, is that as you run deeper into all forms of technology, whether it be physics, I studied a lot of physics, even mathematics, and definitely within AI, we start seeing an orderly structure. Something that is very, very profound. And it is leading people, I think, to a level that I have not expected and is starting to rise, especially within the AI community. People are becoming more Christian or becoming Christian, period. And it's fascinating to me because as you understand what this technology means and what it's doing, it's drawing you more into trying to seek what are the ancient wisdom words? Yeah. How did we get here? Pastor has shown me so many different connections, prophesized that we will get to this moment. And we are at this moment. We're at this moment.
Hunger and the thirst for God is being stirred up by these different technologies. People are spiritually hungry. They're using the wrong things, but they're spiritually hungry. So that's starting them in this process where they're searching for God. And we have to be ready to give them the answer. We have to be ready to tell them that artificial intelligence is not the way, that the Holy Spirit is the way. Again, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And because the blood is there, the Spirit of God can move through a human being. You know, there's so much stuff that was there, but they were talking about there's a church that they believe that they can take their data from their brain and stick it eternally on these hard drives and disks, and they're going to exist forever and ever with this data. This is deception. This is deception in one of its highest forms, because once the breath of God leaves your body, your soul goes to be with him, or it goes to into eternity with the devil. So there is no taking your brain and sticking it in a machine and you're going to live forever through that machine. But there's so many people who want longevity. They want legacy. They want to be able to say, I'm going to live forever, but they're not doing it the right way. And the right way is through turning your heart over to God, selling yourself out to him, and giving him your all. Then you get the benefits of eternity. Because this life here is temporary. You get 70, 80, 100 year, 120 years, and then you step through the door of death, and a lot of people want to avoid death, cannot avoid it. You have to go through that door in order to step into the promise, step into eternity, being with God. Does everyone understand everything? Is there any questions? I know this was different. I know this was kind of expansive, explosive, but I really feel like, you know, God led Pastor Barber for us to do this. He wants you to have this information so that you know what's going on and you can be prepared to give people an answer.